Carlo som Carlissoni.
And the wild and crazy Brateha Dukinev from Ukraine, otherwise known as the Viper Brothers in English, and a song called Sorok Pachok Verkhoveni, which translates very loosely as Top 40 Packs. I vitaju vas vsih dorhi radio sukhachi ta zaprošiju na radio programu Naš holos radio Kninskoho Korinja. Pri mikrofoni Pavlina, dziakuju za vaš namir sukhate na ciju programu. На вас чекають, як звичайно, цікаві новини і чудову українську музику. Hello there and welcome to Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio. I'm your host Pavlina and I'm delighted to have you with me. Thank you so much for choosing to tune in and spend this time with me. We have some great programming for you over the next hour. We have a commentary by a tactical medic who will share his experiences volunteering in Ukraine. As well, we have the latest news from Ukraine, courtesy Ukraine Today, and a Konishko Corner book review with Myra Junik. So stay tuned for all of that. We've also got our usual proverb of the week, other items of interest, and great Ukrainian music. And coming up next is another group from Ukraine. This is a little more recent release. It is a parody song, a satire, by a group called Lisopetny Battalion, which translates roughly as Forest Battalion, and a song called Davai Babe Davai, which translates loosely as Go Granny Go. A special feature courtesy Ukraine Today, Ukraine's first English language TV and news channel. The following is one of a series of features exploring pressing issues in today's Ukraine.
Hello and welcome to Viewpoint on Ukraine Today. My name is Sam Keeley and right now I'm joined by Ricardo Flores Artola from Z-Medica. Ricardo, thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
So you are an experienced combat medic. You served for many years with the American Armed Forces. You went on combat deployment in Somalia, Afghanistan and Iraq. And now you've been brought to Ukraine to share some of your experience and your knowledge with the frontline medics that we have here in the country.
Yes.
In your experience, what can you say about the current knowledge of tactical medical training within the Ukrainian Armed Forces?
I've seen a lot of great progress from the first time I came here, which was about 2 years ago. There are individual companies and individuals that are pushing these evidence-based practice guidelines to help improve survivability on the battlefield.
Okay, so you've been coming here for the last 2 years and you say you've seen some great progress. So where are we at the moment?
I think you're still in the early stages. The adoption of a lot of these guidelines hasn't been fully implemented. I think there's still shortages of equipment for the Ukrainian soldiers, but the knowledge base is being provided. And I think that Ukrainian military is moving in the right direction.
Okay. So can you break down tactical medicine for us? What is it and why is it so important?
Well, tactical medicine is a combination of things. But most importantly is maintaining situational awareness of the environment that you're dealing with. So when you provide medicine in the hospital, it's completely different than when you provide medicine on the battlefield. So tactical,
you're not being shot at in the hospital.
Exactly. So tactical combat casualty care is broken down into three phases. Mm-hmm. The first phase is when an individual is taking effective enemy hostile fire. So you're under immediate threat. Mm-hmm. At that time, all you can do is return fire to try to suppress the enemy or neutralize the threat. And the only medical treatment that you would do in that situation is maybe put a tourniquet and drag the casualty behind cover and concealment. And that's one of the differences, because a lot of people that have not been to combat view combat like in the movies, where you see a guy that gets injured and the medic rushes out in the open with a hail of bullets, all heroic. But if a medic does that, he becomes another casualty. Mm-hmm. So you need to understand that in the real combat, you have to suppress the enemy, neutralize the enemy, grab your casualty, and take him behind some cover and concealment.
Okay, so when you are here in Ukraine, you are working with Patriot Defense, a non-profit organization, and you are providing your experience straight to the soldiers that are out there on the front line.
I do it in partnership with Patriot Defense. Mm-hmm. I come once or twice a year to the Ukraine, and so even though Patriot Defense and the instructors are making great progress, sometimes they don't see it as much as I do, because I come back 6 months later and I see the big differences that they have made strides in.
Okay, so a few moments ago you spoke about equipment. Are the soldiers or the doctors that are out there with the soldiers on the front line of the conflict, do they have the equipment which they need?
Currently, there is some equipment out there. I don't think that all the units are equipped properly yet. The other thing with the equipment that people need to understand is that the tourniquets and the hemostatics need to have science and evidence behind them. The U.S. military didn't implement these tourniquets and hemostatics without doing independent testing and evaluating in a laboratory, in a clinical environment. And now, after 14 years of warfare, we have extensive experience in the efficacy and safety of these tourniquets and hemostatics in the battle environment.
So you were training the everyday procedures which will be followed by the American Armed Forces to the Ukrainian Armed Forces?
Yes, but I'm not part of the Department of Defense. I'm a civilian, a part of a civilian company called Z-Medica that provides the primary hemostatic for the Department of Defense called Combat Gauze.
Okay. So what is Combat Gauze? What does this do? How does this help?
So Combat Gauze is utilizes an active agent called kaolin, which is a mineral that once it comes in contact with the blood, it helps expedite the speed of clotting and it makes the blood clot stronger, so it helps stop the bleeding on the battlefield.
Okay, so where is the combat gauze coming from? Is this coming from the United States
yes,
to Ukraine?
It's manufactured in Connecticut. It is been available to the Department of Defense for the United States since 2008. It is part of the kit that every soldier that deploys to combat has.
Okay, so 100% of soldiers going over to the east of Ukraine would have combat gauze.
At this time, I'm speaking about the United States okay. kit. And the Ukraine, that's still not available to every soldier.
Okay, so can you break down a situation where this would be vital to use? So if a soldier takes a gunshot wound, and then what is the process then? How much time do they have? How is this used?
So combat gauze is one of the tools that you would use for hemorrhage control, right? Mm-hmm. And as I mentioned before, it's situationally dependent. So during the different phases of combat, when you're taking effective enemy hostile fire, the only thing you do is suppress the enemy and maybe put a tourniquet. Once you drag the casualty behind some cover and concealment, now you can take more time and provide more definitive care. And at that time, you would determine if the tourniquet was necessary or not necessary, and you can use this hemostatic for femoral or arterial bleeds that are aggressive and you need to control rapidly.
Okay, so if this is used effectively, what is the success rate, talking about percentages?
So there's different studies, but it's over 90%. There was a study that was conducted by the Mayo Clinic in the United States in ambulances where the protocol was to use standard methods to control the hemorrhaging. And if those were not successful, then you would utilize tourniquets or hemostatics. Combat gauze was 95% effective in controlling bleeding after standard bleeding protocols were not effective.
Okay. So if you were able to give some advice now to Ukraine's Ministry of Defense on where they should be focusing their attention in terms of training their doctors and providing them equipment, what advice would you give them?
The first thing I would say that these are basic skills that doesn't require a trauma surgeon. An everyday soldier, if you can train a soldier to pull the trigger, you can train a soldier to put a tourniquet and to use hemostatic to stop the bleeding. Besides these basic skills and the basic equipment, I think that the warrior that's defending your country deserves at least the basic skills to save his own life or his buddy's life and the equipment to do it with.
Okay, so we're running out of time. Ricardo, could you just tell us about your plans for the future? Do you plan on coming back to Ukraine?
I hope to come back in June. They're having a competition in tactical medicine during that time, and I've been invited to be a judge of that competition. And again, I believe that that's part of the great success of the implementation of tactical medicine. This will be the second international competition that I've been invited to be a judge of, and I'm interested to see the capabilities of the Ukrainian military to provide compete in that event.
Okay, and just one final question. When you first came here 2 years ago, you must have had some objectives in your mind of certain things which you wanted to achieve. Could you tell us if you have achieved these and what they are?
Well, one of the great privileges of my position with my company is I get the opportunity to kind of training worldwide. And I've always heard of Kyiv, and it's a beautiful city. And every opportunity that I get, I enjoy coming back here. But as far as my objectives, it's just to share my knowledge and to help provide. I get a sense of satisfaction that I get to share that knowledge and help save Ukrainians' lives.
That's fantastic. Ricardo, that is all we have time for. Thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you.
This has been a special feature courtesy Ukraine's first English language TV and news channel, Ukraine Today. To hear more from Ukraine Today, check all of this week's editions of Nash Holos at www.nashholos.com. And for their full roster of breaking stories, as well as interviews, press reviews, and in-depth analysis on Ukraine, follow Ukraine Today on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, and their live blog, uatoday.tv. Ви слухайте радіопрограму «Наш голос» Радіо Українського коріння по мережі PCJ Radio, яка подається вам англійською мовою з Британської Колумбії в Канаді. You're listening to «Наш голос» Ukrainian Roots Radio, coming to you on the PCJ Radio Network from Vancouver Island in beautiful British Columbia, Canada.
Ой, підвишнею! Черешнею, з тою старі з молотою, як із ягодою, тою старі з молотою, як із ягодою, і просилася, і молилася, пусти ж мене старі кіду на вулицю погуляй, пусти мене старі кіду на вулицю погуляй. сам не піду, і тебе не пущу. Хочеш мене, старенько, та й покинуть на біду. Хочеш мене, старенько, та й покинуть на біду. Ой, не кидай мене, моя голубочко, куплю тобі катку і ще сіножатку. Лістовий манок, ще й вишневенький садок. Лістовий манок, ще й вишневенький садок.
Ontario, that was Dunai, and that is from their first CD, Obkružio Jasvit, I Search the World, and a song called Oi Pid Vishneyu, which means Under the Cherry Tree, and that's pretty much where I'm spending a lot of time these days. It's in full bloom, looks like possibly a bumper crop, keeping my fingers crossed, so we'll keep you tuned as to the progress of that particular adventure in my life. Again, that was Dunai with Oi Pid Vishneyu, Under the Cherry Tree. Coming up next is a song that was recently circulating on the internet, and it is a song that has become sort of a theme song, I guess, of the Maidan and the beginning of the war in Ukraine. An old folk song called Hey Pleve Kacha, which is about a young man who goes off to war and his mother grieving for him, being buried in a foreign country, and incidentally the first person who perished in Ukraine's Maidan Revolution was a foreigner sympathizing with Ukrainians. Here is Inna Ishchenko singing Pleve Kacha.
Hey, Pleve Kacha, what is
the latest news stories from Ukraine, courtesy Ukraine's first international English news channel, Ukraine Today.
Oleh Sentsov and Oleksandr Kolchenko, Ukrainian activists unjustly imprisoned in Russia, are confirmed to be Ukrainian citizens. Russian High Commissioner for Human Rights says the citizenship of the two is undoubtedly Ukrainian. According to a statement posted on the website of the Ombudswoman, the Ukrainian citizenship of Sentsov and Kolchenko is officially confirmed and cannot be called and questioned by anyone. On April 8th, Russia started preparing documents for the transfer of four imprisoned Ukrainians, including Sentsov and Kolchenko. This followed a request by Ukrainian Justice Ministry to extradite Ukrainians held in Russian jails.
The Trilateral Contact Group in Minsk did not reach an agreement on key issues regarding the conflict in Donbass. This is according to a statement by a spokesperson of Leonid Kuchma, Ukraine's former president and the current Ukrainian representative at the peace talks. The ongoing ceasefire violations and the exchange of prisoners of war topped the meeting's agenda. Kiev says Russian-backed separatist forces are blocking the Red Cross medics from visiting the captured Ukrainian soldiers. No consensus on the prisoners of war release have been reached as of yet. The elections in Donbass were also discussed. Ukraine stresses the elections could only happen after a complete ceasefire and the withdrawal of all Russian forces. All sides say they will continue to negotiate these issues in the future. The next meeting is scheduled for April the 20th.
Lithuania is blacklisting several dozen Russians and Ukrainians for their role in the detention and sentencing of Nadiya Savchenko. The UK Minister of Europe, David Lidington, is also calling on Russia to end the illegal detention of the Ukrainian pilot. French President François Hollande and German Chancellor Angela Merkel are calling for an immediate release of Nadiya Savchenko. This is according to Ukraine's president, Petro Poroshenko. The European leaders want to see the Ukrainian pilot freed from a Russian prison. Savchenko is undergoing her 10th day of full hunger strike. Both Hollande and Merkel say they're extremely concerned about her health.
Chairman of Ukrainian parliament Volodymyr Groysman is now the new prime minister of Ukraine. 257 deputies have approved his appointment as the head of the government. Groysman has replaced Arseniy Yatsenyuk, who applied for resignation on April 10th. Now the lawmakers are expected to elect the new cabinet of ministers. Life Without Limbs and Limits. Australian motivational speaker and philanthropist Nick Vujicic paid a visit to the Ukrainian soldiers, currently in treatment at a military hospital in Kyiv. The 33-year-old was born without hands and legs due to a rare inherited disease. Despite that, he lives a full-fledged life. He shared his personal experience during a speech at the hospital.
I'm never a person to say that I understand your pain, because I was born this way and I don't know anything different. And there are many times in life where the human spirit needs courage and love. Your value is not determined on your disability.
Vucic says the fact that he has no limbs doesn't stop him from traveling around the world and skydiving. It didn't stop him from finding his true love too. Now he has a wife and two kids and plans to have another child.
Dreams can come true. My three-year-old son, when he cries, I can't put my arms around him, but he puts his arms around me.
The servicemen listening to his speech are recovering from wounds received during the war in Donbass. Many of them lost limbs in the battles against the Russian-backed separatist forces. Dmytro Kraslyansky is one of them. He was wounded a year ago, went into coma twice. The soldier says Vucic's example inspires him.
I often see completely healthy people who don't cherish their lives. But when you lose your legs, you begin to understand. He made it and I want to. Want to have a family too.
Nick Vucic admits at one point he wanted to commit suicide. Now he understands, happiness does not depend on hands and legs, it lies in your heart. Vucic says he has a dream. He keeps a pair of shoes in his wardrobe, just in case.
Ukrainian soldiers who serve in eastern Ukraine are now on a football field taking part in a friendly championship. Teams play under the colors of their military divisions. Artillery, infantry, tank operators and intelligence servicemen, they are all here. Igor is a Maidan activist and a Ukrainian soldier. Now he's a member of a team named after a major general and hero of Ukraine Sergei Kulchitsky, who was killed in Slovyansk in May 2014. I spent 2 years in the Kulchitsky battalion and playing under this banner is an incredible honor. Soldiers say they are glad to participate in the tournament. It's a nice and relaxing activity after the years spent under enemy fire. I served in the Donetsk and Luhansk regions, and now I'm a goalkeeper. It's good to be here, far away from the war and closer to the peaceful life. The tournament begins with a minute of silence in tribute to the fallen soldiers. Then the servicemen turned football players walk out on the field. In the first match, Signal Corps are playing against the General Staff members.
We started training for the tournament 2 months ago. We had very intensive training, running in the snow and all. So we are fully prepared. Hope our opponents are not too scared. The tournament features 10 teams overall. One of them consists of volunteers who help the soldiers in the conflict regions. Servicemen are also among the spectators. They say they don't support any particular team, but rather all their brothers in arms. The winner of the competition will be known in June. Military drones, anti-crash systems and more. Ukrainian students presented their inventions for a technological exhibition in the northern city of Zhytomyr. Expo's participants say the project could help in the conflict zone as well as everyday life. This unmanned flying vehicle is the creation of the students of the local military college. They say the drone is much cheaper in production rather than foreign analogies. Its speed is 80 kilometers, and it allows to film a video during the night. In addition, the expo featured an anti-drone system, which can target vehicles based on sound. Two other students installed a sensor on a toy car. It automatically stops the machine if an obstacle is near. Creators say similar devices could also be set up on real vehicles, not only cars, but buses and trains too. It would be useful on the road, in various factories. It could really reduce the number of accidents and injuries. Organizers say the devices presented here are no worse than what the country imports. The Ukrainian army is already looking to take some of the gadgets on board. Similar projects will be held in future to attract and inspire younger population to contribute to the development of the region. We fully support projects like this, and we will continue to finance them as well as support the creators of the best inventions in the future. Laguta adds, best inventors will receive prize money for future projects. Military college promises to provide them all the necessary equipment. The Carpathian Mountains in western Ukraine are known for beautiful nature and dense forests. People from all parts of the country like to travel here to get away from the city noise. But this area could soon become the site of an ecological disaster. The forests are rapidly vanishing. Locals blame illegal poachers who violate the law by cutting down the trees. Look how empty this area is, how much they've destroyed. Wherever we go, we see this. It's impossible to hide. They've been doing it for 6 years. The area here is a unique national park. Clearance of young trees is banned here. The latest order of prohibition was issued just a few weeks ago. The police is conducting several investigations against the illegal poachers, but none of that stops the smugglers from destroying the forest. Every year they cut down around 300,000 hectares of these trees. Crooked dealers earn millions of dollars selling the lumber abroad. They are using various tactics to cover their tracks. For example, they mark young trees as deadwood in the documents. Others work without any permission at all. Activists say local authorities are protecting the smugglers. They call the clearance forest sanitation. Ukrainian journalists tried to speak with the head of the national park where the trees are being cut down. They were met with aggression and violence. Documents? What documents? We all can chop down the woods, even you, just buy a horse to transport the trees. I have the permission, but I won't show it to you. I'm not obligated to show you anything. Later, the director of this area agreed to answer the questions. He categorically denies any accusations. I'm not going to stop anything. The clearance that is done here is absolutely legal. After several piquets, Ukraine's Ministry of Ecology has agreed to find a replacement for Mr. Parachuk. However, other areas are still in danger. Dozens of trucks transport the woods every day. Experts say if nothing is done to stop that, Carpathian forest may simply disappear.
And with that, we've come to the end of this week's Ukraine News Roundup for this edition of Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio. To hear more news from Ukraine today, check all of this week's editions of Nash Holos at www.nashholos.com. And for their full roster of breaking stories, as well as interviews, press reviews, and in-depth analysis on Ukraine, follow Ukraine Today on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, and their live blog, uatoday.tv.
Вечір вечоріє, повстанське серце б'є, а лента набої поспішно подає, ах, лента за лентою набої подавай, український повстанче в бою не відступай, ах, лента за лентою набої подавай, український повстанче.
повстанче, бою не відступай. А ворог атакує і приться, що сил. Юнак кулеметник їх правно косив. Ах, лента за лентою на бої подавай. Український повстанче, бою не відступай. Ах, лента за лентою на бої подавай. Український повстанче, бою не відступай. Як сонце сходило, втомлений юнак, упав він ранений, упав він навзнак. Ах, лента за лентою на бої подавай. Український повстанче, в бою не відступай. Ах, лента за лентою на бої подавай. Український повстанче, в бою не відступай.
До нього санітарка поспішно йде, в обличчя вдивляєсь, його пізнає. Ах, лента за лентою на бої подала, український повстанче, в бою не відступай.
Ах, лента за лентою на бої подавай, український повстанче, в бою.
Ще в грудях рана, біля кулемета дівчина молода.
Ах, лента за лентою на бої подавай. Український повстанче, в бою не відступай. Ах, лента за лентою на бої подавай. Український повстанче, в бою не відступай. А ворог атакує в останній момент, наново заграв вже затихлий кулемет. Ах, лента за лентою на бої подавай. Український повстанче, в бою не відступай. Ах, лента за лентою на бої подавай. Український повстанче, в бою не відступай. Ах, лента за лентою на бої подавай. Український повстанче, в бою не відступай. Ах, лента за лентою на бої подавай. Український повстанче, в бою не відступай.
And Taras Chubai with Kozak System from Ukraine, with a song that goes back to the Povstanska era, when Ukrainians were fighting Nazis and Soviets, and that song was called Lenta Zalentoyu, about young men passing ammunition to each other. Coming up next, some Canadian talent, and this is a group from Toronto called Dovira, with a contemporary rendition of a traditional Ukrainian folk song, a much beloved one, Tijemene Pidmanula, You Deceived Me.
Ти казала, в понеділок підем разом на барвінок. Я прийшов, тебе нема, підманула, підвела. Ти ж мене підманула, ти ж мене підвела. Ти ж мене молото з ума розуму звела. Ти казала, у вівторок поцілуєш разів 40. Я прийшов, тебе нема, підманула, підвела. п'ятницю, підем разом по водицю. Я прийшов, тебе нема, підманула, підвела.
Слухайте радіопрограму «Наш голос» Радіо Українського коріння по мережі PCJ Radio, яка подається вам англійською мовою з Британської Колумбії в Канаді. You're listening to «Наш голос» Ukrainian Roots Radio, coming to you on the PCJ Radio Network from Vancouver Island in beautiful British Columbia, Canada. Welcome to Knižka Corner, book reviews by Myra Junik, Ukrainian stories in English.
In this edition of Knižka Corner, we will be discussing Marcia Forchuk-Skripuk's new novel, Dance of the Banished. Dance of the Banished explores the tragic history of Canadian internment camps and the Armenian Genocide. It is a story of injustice, prejudice, and violence. Skripuk's novel is loosely based on actual events, and it was published to commemorate the 100th anniversary of Canada's World War I War Measures Act, which set up the internment camps. This novel describes the unbreakable bonds of love in the face of catastrophic conflict. The year is 1913. Teenage lovers Ali and Zeynep live in Iomez, Anatolia, which is now in Turkey. They are Alevi Kurds who speak the Zaza dialect and practice a religion which believes in Jesus, the sun, the moon, the stars, and Allah. One key aspect of their religion is a prayer dance called the Sema, which is the basis for the book's title, Dance of the Banished. Ali gets a rare opportunity to immigrate to Canada with his brother Youssef. He cannot afford to bring Zeynep with him, but promises to do so in the future. They agree to write letters to each other in their journals. However, their communication soon breaks down as the world is torn apart by war. Zeynep is angry that Ali has left her behind. She must rely on herself to stay alive and find a way to reunite with her beloved Ali. She befriends a group of American Protestant missionaries traveling to the city of Harput, where she hopes to work and get an education. Meanwhile, Ali has been arrested in Brantford, Ontario, for being an enemy alien, along with 99 other Alevi Kurds. He is sent to an internment camp in Kapuskasing, Ontario, where all his belongings are destroyed. He must live in terrible conditions in the frigid Canadian wilderness, clearing trees for bunkhouses. Will Ali and Zeynep ever be reunited? In Dance of the Banished, Skripuk explores the impact of war on the lives of young people. Zeynep's courage is exemplified by her determination to help her persecuted Armenian neighbors. She even takes the place of one of her Armenian friends who is being sent away by Turkish soldiers. Besides, what was the physical difference between an Armenian and an Alevi Kurdish girl? The Armenian Genocide of 1915 resulted in the death of more than 1 million people. Skripuk describes little-known historical atrocities so that they are not forgotten. Ali's treatment in the Canadian internment camp in Kapustasing is a good example of this. Skripuk's own grandfather was interned in Jasper, Alberta. In the author's note, there is interesting information about the 24 Canadian internment camps which held enemy aliens during World War I, including many Ukrainians. While researching this book, she discovered that 100 Alevi Kurds were taken away from her hometown of Brantford to internment camps during World War I. Marsha Forchuk-Skripuk has received numerous awards and honors for her picture books and young adult novels. She has published 3 other young adult novels about the Armenian genocide, The Hunger, Nobody's Child, and Daughter of War. She has also published 2 junior novels on this topic, Aram's Choice and Call Me Aram. In 2008, Marsha was awarded the Order of Princess Olha by the President of Ukraine in recognition of picture book Enough, which described the Holodomor. Marsha's novel, Making Bombs for Hitler, won the Silver Birch Award in 2012 and was on the 2014 shortlist for the Kobzad Literary Award. Her nonfiction work, One Step at a Time, A Vietnamese Child Finds Her Way, won the 2014 Silver Birch Nonfiction Award. In Dance of the Banished, readers will discover what a terrible world this is when human beings are treated like garbage. Dance of the Banished is available at Chapters and Amazon.
Thanks, Myra. Join us again soon for another edition of Konishka Corner, book reviews by Myra Junik, here on Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio.
Ти признайся мені, звідки тебе ті чари, я без тебе сіні, у полоні печалі, може десь у лісах, ти чарзіла шукала, сонце руту знайшла. І мене зчарувала, а червону руту не шукай вечорами, ти у мене єдина, тільки ти повір, бо твоя рода, твоя чистая вода, твоє бістра я вода сінір. Бачу я тебе сна у дібровах зелених, не забути стежка, ти приходиш до мене і не треба нести мені квітку надії. Бо давно у житті увійшла мої мрії, а червону руту не шукай вечорами, ти у мене єдина, тільки ти повір, бо твоя врода, твоя чість, стая вода, то є бістра я вода сінір. Вечорами ти у мене єдина, тільки ти повір, бо твоя врода,
чистая вода, твоя быстрая вода синим. Твоя быстрая вода синим.
Річко чичери, чичери, чичери,
розчишими кучері, 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 розчишими кучері, кучері, кучері.
Я би тобі чесала, чесала, чесала,
коби мати не знала, не знала, не знала, коби мати не знала, не знала, не знала.
Мати буде дивитися, будешся дивити,
я се буду ганьбити, будуся ганьбити, я се буду ганьбити, будуся ганьбити.
Марічко, люблю тя, люблю тя.
Заріж мені когуття, когуття, когуття. Заріж мені когуття, когуття, когуття.
Ой, Марічко, чичери, чичери, чичери.
Розчиши ми кучері, кучері, кучері. Розчиши ми кучері, кучері, кучері.
And Anatoly Rudenko and the Folklore Ensemble Kiev with a traditional Ukrainian folk song, another much-beloved one, Oy Marichko. And before them, you heard Sofia Bilozor from Winnipeg, and from her CD, Chudivni Melodii, Enchanting Melodies, and an Iva Suk classic, Chervona Ruta. For the very best in Ukrainian programming, tune in to Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio in Vancouver every Saturday at 6 p.m. Pacific Time on AM 1320 CHMB and streaming at am1320.com. Live in Nanaimo Wednesdays at 11 a.m. on CHLY 101.7 FM and online at chly.ca. And elsewhere in the world on the PCJ Radio Network on AM, FM and Shortwave Radio. In between broadcasts, you can find us online at www.nashholos.com, where you can get links to podcast feeds of all three editions of the show. As well, make sure to follow Nash Holos on Twitter and please like our Facebook page. На жаль, ми вже скінчили нашу програму, вже час домовий сказати до побачення, але перед тим я хочу залишити вас такими словами мудрості. Краще і легше давати, як від когось щось дістати. And our proverb of the week translates as, it is better and easier to give than to get. Well, that about wraps it up for another edition of Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio here on PCJ Radio. Thanks so much for listening. To take us to the end of our program, we have Mickey and Eugene from Winnipeg and the Ra-Cha-Cha Polka. I'm Paulette McQuarrie, Pokrinska Pavlina, on behalf of all of us here at Nash Holos and PCJ Radio. Thanks so much for listening. Until next time, do pobachenia.